Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/telache to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Telache.
Welcome to another episode of the ChaiCast with your host, Tapicon and Steve. Special guest, Marco Hernandez. And now the ChaiCast. Welcome once again, everyone, to another episode of the ChaiCast. I am Steve, and joining me today we have...
Tapicon over here.
And Marco Hernandez.
How you doing out there? Holding on the West Coast there, Tapicon.
Pretty good. California, a little bit of a heat wave, that's okay. We officially reopened, quote unquote, on the 15th.
Interesting.
So all of California, a lot of the restrictions have been lifted, so... All the restaurants can work 100% capacity. Clubs are opened up. Bars opened up as well. No mask required at gyms. Pretty much as close to quote unquote normal as we can. So, you know, I went out to a club last night and it was weird to, you know, be in a packed bar with everyone not masked. But it was also nice. It was nice.
So what are your thoughts on that? I think it's lunacy myself, but what are your thoughts about that?
I think the science is there. I think that, you know, our vaccination rates are pretty high. I think they reported that like 80% of adults are vaccinated, at least in the big cities. If we see numbers change with the reopening, then I'm sure we'll do something about it, but it feels fast. It feels fast. And I think everyone is a little wary and cautious as they should be.
Yeah. I think it's fast too. I don't know. I hope it's not politically motivated. I hope they're not thinking that we have to do this or that, because, and again, if people do start getting sick, are they going to really report it? Are they going to suppress the numbers? Are they going to suppress the truth, you know, just to try to maintain a good face? I mean, there's a lot of ifs and a lot of uncertainty for me. I think this might be a bit premature.
Yeah, well, it's 2 days so far, so we'll have to wait and see.
Well, we're not going to know until we won't know for sure until probably Thanksgiving. By the end of the year, we'll see how things go. I mean, we have 4th of July, we have Labor Day, you know, holidays, and those are like 4th of July is kind of outdoors. Labor Day is like a little mix of both. And then we have all the Christmas holidays coming up. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I wish you well. Be safe. If you get sick, let us know. Keep track on how it is out there. How is it down there in Honduras as far as you know, Marco?
Okay, Honduras. Well, the situation in Honduras right now is in a very critical state. We are... getting the first doses of vaccination, which is great. The doctors are vaccinated.
Oh, nice. So
90%. But I recommend people to check the ChaiCast in Spanish, which is our podcast in Spanish. We had a very interesting topic of conversation with a very important doctor for the current situation. And some very interesting stuff was said, some very eye-opening in a sense.
Yeah.
Right now, the vaccinations are a very big topic. Because we're starting to get some of them but there's a lot of people who want them, mm-hmm. a lot of people who can't get them. And then there is a situation of who do we give the vaccines? Do we give it to the elderly vaccines mm-hmm. that maybe not be good for them, but are against COVID? Or should we give it to the teacher? Should we give it to the kids who need to go back to school? Mm. And besides that, the elections are this year. So there's a lot in our plate currently.
I think you were saying something else about, which vaccine are they getting down there?
We're getting AstraZeneca. We are getting, not the Moderna, we're getting the Sputnik one, which...
Sputnik, okay.
The Sputnik one is a little bit controversial because according to our guest in Check Us in Spanish, he told us that we have received the first shipment of the first dose, but we haven't gotten the second one yet. And both ones are not... You cannot use the first one two times. It has to come with the second one. And so they're waiting for the shipments for this. So it's a very controversial topic.
So you gonna say something there, Tap?
Oh no, I haven't heard of the Sputnik one. I'm looking it up right now. I've heard of AstraZeneca. I have some friends that work on the trials for it. And they pretty positive, but I haven't heard of the Sputnik one.
I'm just guessing, but I'm assuming the Sputnik one came from Russia.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Bingo.
Huh. So the Sputnik one came from Russia. The second one's not here yet. So, Marco, how long in between doses does it take? Do you have to wait to get the second one? How much time do they have to get the second one here?
I'm not well versed with this one, but I think it's either weeks or months apart. I'm not so sure.
Okay. Well, again, if you have a chance, go over and listen to the Checkcast in Espanol, and they'll be talking about that subject matter. Hope they keep us informed. That's going to be really interesting. We'll see how that one turns out. So, as we know, this is Pride Month. To everyone out there, happy Pride Month. And I wanted to talk. Now, the whole month of June is Pride Month, and I kind of wanted to ask TapCon some questions about Pride. So, from what I'm understanding, the origins of Pride Month really kind of started with the Stonewall. I call it the Stonewall Incident. Some call it the Stonewall Riot. Some call it the Stonewall Uprising. But after Stonewall the following year, so Stonewall happened on June 28, 1969 in New York. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, they had a march to kind of remember that. I think it was called the Christopher Street Liberation March.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we get Pride. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. I just call it Stonewall. I think everyone knows what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, but yeah, you know, it was a riot. Essentially, I mean, one of the things that many queer people like to say, I mean, I do too, is to remember that Pride started out as a riot.
Right.
And it was. It was this riot that happened over police unjustly raiding the Stonewall Inn, which is a gay bar in New York City. And, you know, they've been raided many times before, but this was just a real tipping moment of we're sick of this. We're sick of being raided. Stonewall Inn it still exists. It's still a gay bar in New York City. You can go there, get a drink. Every time I go to New York City, I drop by. It's actually rather small. But I mean, compared to, you know, bars nowadays that are multiple floors and have three different stations to get drinks. But it's cute. It's the first bar I ever went to where I went and sat down at the bar, asked for a drink, and the bartender asked me what my pronouns were.
Wow, really?
Hello, you got vodka soda? Like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, what are your pronouns? Like, they, them. It's like, okay, cool. You know, welcome to the city. It was pretty obvious I was a tourist.
So I'm still very curious. Like, I've looked at it. I read the story a couple of times, the whole Stonewall incident, because what it seemed to me was that the cops, so the bar was owned by the mafia, and the mafia was well aware of what was going on there. And they, you know, this was a safe haven that they felt should be under their jurisdiction, you know, because if you were gay, you were conducting an illegal act. And if anything that's illegal, the mafia has to make money on it. So they made money by watering down the drinks, by probably charging a little bit at the door, which is probably even more illegal, and letting people in. They could dance, and they probably went up and said, hey, give us $5 if you're going to dance together. So they have all these little ways of making money on them. And the cops were cool with it, because the cops made money on it too. The cops took money from the mafia. And they came in every week to do that. And 1968, I believe that the first Saturday was the first day of the month. So it wasn't 4 weeks. It was almost like 5 or 6 weeks in the month. And it seemed like they might have been short. Like, there was some reason the cops were pissed off and like, hey, we want our money and it's not. And they didn't get it. And so they decided to crack down and crack heads and harass the customers. And it was just the wrong place at the wrong time to do that. And the result was people were drug out. It pretty much sparked pretty fast. But this was something that was ongoing. And there's a name that's brought up, Marsha P. Johnson, who actually says that she wasn't really there. She didn't get there till 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's another name that I mentioned. I saw a Stormy D. LaVeria. I think she was the one that was actually, or they were the one that were actually drug out and thrown to the back of a police paddy wagon. Again, I can't even picture this because they don't really use paddy wagons anymore, but they're literally hopping them into these paddy wagons. And she was like, are you going to do something? And there was a question, who threw the first brick at Stonewall? And I don't think it really matters who threw the first brick. It was a long time over. It was a long time overdue.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Marsha P. Johnson, who's like credited with throwing with that, didn't. Like, she admits she didn't, but right. She also says it doesn't matter.
Right. Like,
someone did, and we needed it. Yeah. I mean, it's always interesting to think about, yeah, obviously I was born in the early 90s. So, you know, 60s seems like such a far away time for me. And to think that the mafia really controlled a lot of things happening in New York City, including accessible spaces for queer people, there, as you're reading into the history of Stonewall, there's plenty of stuff about like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, cops are the cops and the mafia, you know, some of the police officers were bought out. So whenever a raid would happen, someone on the inside would let them know so that the bars would have like some ahead time notice. But yeah, there was something was going on. And, you know, not just to say it was like a mafia cop corruption thing. There was still a lot of blatant homophobia, transphobia, right, like in play.
Yeah.
Every time the place was raided, you know, people were lined up, people were asked for their gender, and then they were, you know, they had like these closing item restrictions that the police were enforcing of like, women can't wear more than like three masculine things.
Wow.
Men can't wear more than like two feminine things. Like if they got a woman out and she was wearing like pants, a t-shirt, or like, you know, a busboy cap, then they'd be like, all right, no, that's improper. And then they were able to, you know, take them in. And things like that, they would, you know, pat them down to like confirm gender or sex.
Wow.
Something like, yeah. this was still a very homophobia, transphobia, queerphobia led thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as you can probably ask almost any queer person that's been out, or anybody that's experienced microaggressions for a lot of their life, it's like they were kind of used to it. That was not the first time that was happening. That had happened there for a while now. But like you said, like the mafia folk that owned the bar usually got notice. And so, you know, people, they would be able to be like, hey, cops are going to show up in like 30 minutes. People would either leave or hide or, you know, change clothes.
Hmm.
And they would, you know, deal with it.
Right.
So finally, yeah, at the end of the month, and I don't say fun fact, but interesting bit of trivia that a lot of people also attribute the final straw thing happening because Judy Garland had just passed away.
Right.
Oh.
Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, Judy Garland, gay icon, not because she was gay herself, but just because she was a star. She was a star who loved the gays, and the gays loved her. She passes away June 22nd. And the community is devastated. That's like nowadays if like Liza Minnelli passed away, or I don't know, Betty White, if she passed away, like,
God forbid.
Exactly. Like the community, the people, they're going to be broken for a bit. And that's just real. And so that weekend, you know, they're at the bars kind of mourning her back together. This raid happens that they did not get notified of beforehand. People are upset and distraught. And this was like the second or third raid in a row that was happening.
Wow.
People were like, it was like a, you know, Thursday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday or something like that. Third night, and they're just like, are you kidding? We are tired. We are sick of it. Riots started happening. Bricks was thrown. Nobody died. But
nobody died at Stonewall.
Nobody died at Stonewall, but a lot of arrests. And those riots went on well into like 4-6 in the morning.
I heard they went on until July 1st.
I mean, yeah.
long time.
Yeah, they were going on. Yeah, you know, it quieted down a little in the morning, and then, you know, people woke back up to go back out.
Yeah.
It catnapped before continuing the fight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So let's take a little break here. I want to come back and talk more about that, the catnap before they continued the fight. We'll be right back.
Looking for a pharmacy partner with expertise in sexual health, PrEP, HIV, or gender-affirming care? AVITA's specially certified pharmacy teams understand how to address the needs of communities who are most affected by complex health conditions and who often face very unique challenges in healthcare. Our teams work hard behind the scenes to coordinate your refills, work with your insurance, and enroll you in any financial assistance programs you qualify for. We want our patients to feel deeply understood, cared for, and empowered to reach their full potential for health. With AVITA, you get the compassionate care you deserve. To learn more about PrEP for your sexual health, visit avitapharmacy.com/prep. That's avitapharmacy.com/PREP.
Okay, so we left off at the catnap before they continued the fight. So they woke up the next day, and it was on like Donkey Kong again.
Yeah, yeah. The word got out. I mean, how could it not? It was just a loud riot that happened at pretty much the most popular gay bar in the area. And so every person told everyone else. It's like, all right, no, they met Reyes again. Let's all get out there. Let's all support. Streets were street area was flooded. Police tried to come. They tried to do their thing. It was largely unsuccessful because they're not great at handling riots, as we have seen for all of history, pretty much.
Right.
And it went on. They organized, they chanted. And yeah, it went on till like July. That's like four or five days or something.
Yeah.
Huge thing. Huge ruckus. And yeah, the next year, around the time people came back together to just commemorate the situation. And officially, around the end of June, became official Pride celebrations. And then that translated into June, just all of June being Pride Month.
I mean, it spread everywhere. Like there's Pride parades in every major city now. You know, it spread from there all the way to the West Coast. Like, San Francisco has a huge Pride parade. L.A. has a huge Pride parade.
Yeah, you can tell, like, the biggest cities have their Pride parade at the last weekend of June to more commemorate, like, Stonewall itself. The further away or, like, the smaller the city is, the further it gets from that date. But because they want to, like, celebrate Pride every single weekend at a different Los Angeles was technically last weekend. Though, you know, small because nothing was reopened. But San Francisco is at the end of the month. New York is typically at the end of the month. Those two are always like, you're on one of the coasts. We can celebrate.
Yeah. So what is it like down in Honduras? Do they have any like pride parades or anything, Marco? Like I don't really kind of give us some background on what that's like down there.
Well, the community in Honduras is persecuted. Activists are killed. It's very heartbreaking seeing some pride marches because to my knowledge, I don't know if there is a yearly Pride March, but I've heard that there is Pride marches, like gay marches done sporadically.
Okay.
And when they do that, it's mostly a call for fight, a call for activism, where a lot of people wear black. Some people bring caskets. Some people make a statement about, hey, look at us. We are being persecuted. And that hurts a lot of people because people lose their families, their friends, and the activists are in risk of their lives. I can mention some of them. For example, there was the president of the LGBT rights, I think of Cortez or San Pedro Sula, which was choked and his body was led by the street. And there was, I think, a transgender or transsexual activist called Lady Oscar in Tegucigalpa, which was burned alive and left by the street.
Wow.
And people remember them. People remember these cases because they impact. It shows that you are a victim of a system and the system doesn't want to open this. There is a case that is very interesting that just got reopened. Her name was Cifrida Chantal and was the first transsexual woman of Central America and was in Honduras. Her dream was to make a foundation to help women, families, and children. That's what she wanted to do. Sadly, her life was cut short and she was murdered in cold blood on her home. But just this year, in May, they reopened the case over her murder and she deserves justice.
Yes, I agree. So we'll post her information in the show notes here. But yeah, that's that. So I guess the mafia, so does organized crime seem to kind of like try to profiteer off of the gay community in New York? But it seems that organized crime in Central America seems to be its biggest threat.
Yeah, absolutely. Gang violence, narcos, cartels, they are not like the mafia. Mafia saw opportunity with the gays, while the narcos and these gangs see the gays as an abomination. It's perpetuated by systems placed by the patriarchy in Honduras that perpetuates this system of the gays are an abomination. The gays are against God. The gays are everything wrong with society. Mm. It's like they don't see themselves in the mirror. They don't see themselves as the monsters, and they're attacking these people who are completely defenseless because who is there to protect them?
Right. Interesting, fascinating, and sad. It's sad that that is that way. But that's kind of what Pride Month has turned into, in a sense, is trying, isn't this right, Tap, to kind of like talk about these topics and to kind of get it onto a platform? Because I think the more that we talk about it, I mean, I think we've come a long way in the U.S., especially not with this past administration, but with the Obama administration, who I'm not a big fan of, but I think they did a lot as far as gay rights go. I think that they actually recognize Stonewall as a historical landmark and a lot of other things that really kind of help the LGBT cause.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation every year had about balancing when we talk about pride with, you know, celebrating our existence and celebrating how far we've come, but really still looking at the past, still looking at all of the injustices that did happen and that are still happening and all the work that we still need to do. And it's, you know, it's hard to draw that balance, you know, because you want to celebrate. You want to celebrate just being there, but also, like, you know, if this year, and this last year especially, like, a lot of police brutality has been brought to the light, especially towards people of color, especially towards trans people. Of color. And it's like, okay, like, we want to celebrate pride, but that's still happening. And we still gotta fight for that. A lot of injustices still needs to be worked on. And it's typically, and that's typically a generational thing. I mean, and for the, like, I rarely say generational differences as like a positive thing, but in this case it is. Like, we need our older generation to kind of remind us what that was like. A lot of the work in, like, HIV, you know, especially, like, I'm, again, I was born in the early 90s. Like, I did not comprehend anything during the like big stages of the HIV pandemic. You know, I came out in the mid 2000s, and I wasn't having sex until much later. So I work in HIV in this very, like, hopeful numbers way, whereas I still have to learn from people that have either worked in the field much longer than me of what it used to be like. You know, I did HIV tests all the time. And after, like, 1,000 tests, I told maybe 10 people that they were living with HIV and they were okay with it. Well, when we were able to make a plan and such, whereas just about 30 years ago,
oh my God,
like 30, maybe 40 years ago, you would be telling about 80% of people that they were living with HIV and that there weren't many options for them. And so we've come a long way. And so, yeah, I want to celebrate that of, like, cool, I don't, you know, HIV numbers are really down, but while remembering that we lost a whole generation of people, eventually. There's this wonderful graphic from the gay men's chorus. I was in the gay men's chorus in San Francisco And then, you know, all kinds of people are there, all kinds of ages of people are there. And they showed that, like, from the people that had started the Gay Men's Chorus to now, like, only about, like, five people of that 100 class of 100 survived.
Wow.
That's it.
That's sad. Well, I mean, yeah, that's sad. That's just sad. There's another word for it, but sad.
Yeah.
May they rest in peace.
Say what?
May they rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we have pride to celebrate how far we've gone, celebrate that that's not so much our reality right now anymore, but we had to go through a lot to get here.
Yeah, it's been a rough road. I think there's no saying, they say we come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a little break, come back and continue this conversation.
We'll be right back.
Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/Telache to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Telache.
So we're back. And again, happy Pride Month to everyone out there. But Marco, I want to talk to you a little bit about, talk to us about Honduras. You were down there to visit a couple of times, Tapacon. What was it like your last time down there? You mentioned the food before.
You know, I actually, I felt really bad that this last time that I went down, I felt pretty sick.
Oh no, the whole time. It sucks.
Which I'm like, I'm actually surprised this is the first time. Like every time I go to Thailand, I get, you know, the first week or two is getting over just like sickness of being in another country, you know? Your body's getting used to the food and the weather and all that. That didn't happen to me the last many times I've been to Honduras, but this last time, I don't know. Well, was it, what about it? I just, everything hurt. I was on the toilet a lot. Didn't get to eat much, but I did. I did try. I finally tried one of their famous dishes, sopa de
caracol. Yes, sopa de caracol.
Finally tried that. Really good. It's translated into either conch or sea snail.
Let me be sure, because I think is scallops. No.
Oh, scallops. Okay.
Definitely not scallops.
I'm trying to be sure. I don't know the English translation correctly, but it's like a sea snail. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sea snail soup. very good. Very good. Really loved it. Very mild. But other than that, it was nice. Still hot as ever.
So give us some background on what he was just talking about.
Okay. Sopa de caracol, I think was first made by Garifuna. Garifuna are the descendants of slaves of the Caribbean who managed to escape.
They're called what? California?
They're called Garifuna.
Garifuna, okay.
They are descendants of slavers who managed to escape or survive boat crashes in the sea. Mm. They managed to reach the coast of Honduras and they made colonies. And so one of their dishes is sopa de caracol, which became very big in all of Honduras. There is even a song of it that became very popular here in the United States.
Really?
Yeah, it's called sopa de caracol. It's a soup with sometimes fish, sometimes crabs, but the main part of the dish is el caracol, the sea snail.
Okay.
It's absolutely delicious.
Really?
It's a must try if you're Honduras. And I'm like, Tapacorn, they gave you something delicious to remember. It's not that it's the most savory dish. It's not that it's very potent, but the taste of it is It's delicious. It's just an experience to try.
Okay.
You know, what I think is really interesting, I like to say I traveled around the U.S. a lot. I haven't traveled internationally much yet. But, you know, you try all these cuisines from different places, and then you go to the actual place and try it there. And the most common complaint is always, oh, it's so mild. Oh, it's so bland. And it's like, no, like the Chinese food that you get here is just, you know, heavily salted and heavily like oversauced. The Mexican food that you get up here is just like over fried and 30 pounds of fat. Like to give you that, when you go to the actual place, an actual Honduras, like trying what is considered authentic Honduran food, it's like, okay, this is very mild, very chill, easy to eat. I went to New Orleans, you know, had like jambalaya and gumbo and po' boys, and was just like, oh, okay, this is very, I don't say bland, but like very mild. Nothing like crazy Cajun flavor. Just like, okay,
yeah, a lot of the food in everywhere, it's glorified because it's like, we are so proud of it. It's something that you have to experience. And sometimes people go with expectations of, this is going to be my moment. This is going to be a spiritual awakening. And no, it's not. But you have to taste the experience to understand the culture of the places you are.
Well, I'm from California, so I don't even know. I don't know what food is typical in either LA or San Francisco, because everything is like from some other place. You know, everything is from other place. I mean, you can have like barbecue, but even that's probably from someplace else. And, you know, so.
I mean, you got the Tex-Mex over there in Austin, which is a very specific Texas cuisine.
Yeah, we had some Tex-Mex yesterday. It was Marco's birthday. So,
Thank you. I'm 25 now.
Wow, congrats. Have you had Tex-Mex food before?
I had barbecue.
We had barbecue yesterday. Mark has got some pretty good barbecue. I got to admit, the beans are excellent. They had like a turkey. What did you have?
I had turkey. I have this, I don't know the name. It was like bacon. It was like bacon, but it was like bigger. It was thicker.
It was beef. It was like
pork belly, I think.
Was it pork you guys had?
I think. I don't know, but it was delicious. It was, I just call it like giant bacon. It was so good. It just melted in my mouth. It was just falling apart into pieces. And I was like, this has so much flavor. And with the barbecue sauce, it was beautiful.
Yeah, three different kinds of barbecue sauces to dip from. That's the big thing in Texas, is the various types of sauces that you can put on stuff. And then the meat cooks with that is like falling off the bone, or turkey, a lot of, you know, smoked turkey.
My biggest thing is just that you could just put queso on everything over there, which is beautiful. I love that.
So tell us what is going on these days with Honduras? Is the storm season coming up? Like, isn't that usually the thing that they fear the most? Like Eta, what was the last one that came through there?
Eta and Iota. I don't know which came first, but one came 1 week before and the other one came after.
Yeah.
Yes, we're in storm season right now. We only have two seasons. It's either dry season or rainy season. Those are the only two seasons. We don't have like winter or spring or autumn, just those two.
And so Cherry Leaf kind of tries to look out for the people of Honduras in the aftermath of these hurricanes. Can you tell us a little bit about what they're trying to recover from? Like, how bad were the last ones?
The last ones were devastating. And through statistics, we believe that we just got out of one of the biggest storms in history, which was a Mitch. I think it was in the 80s.
Right.
And the effects were still being seen nowadays. The Honduras is a poor nation. And because of that, we cannot update the infrastructure of everything. So some roads are still damaged. some bridges need to be built. But the problem was that this came out of nowhere. We didn't have hurricanes like this dangerous in years, and it came to places that they had never been to.
Right.
So people were not prepared. It was like the Mitch 2.0, but way worse. Cherry Leaf is the branch of Che that is focused in helping the people of Honduras. Mm-hmm. Right now they're working in La Lima, working with, it's so sad, the Lima, which was a neighboring city to San Pedro Sula, which is where KNG business is located, where our offices are. Mm-hmm. It got devastated. Places got flooded. Houses got destroyed. People's livelihoods were damaged severely. Mm. But thanks to the help of Cherry Leaf and so many efforts, they're able to be on the level that people can return to their houses at least.
Right. That's good. So, I mean, does it help to plan ahead, or are these, I mean, you know, like what type of funding can we offer to try to prepare for these next ones? Because you never know when they're going to come again.
It's sad to say this, but the infrastructure of a lot of people, Honduras lives with a lot of people under the poverty line, and their houses are made of tin,
wow,
made of cotton.
Right.
I'm not trying to picture Honduras as this poor hellhole type of nation, but I'm giving you a realistic picture. There is a lot of people who are poor,
right,
and they live in very miserable conditions. Like, I'm sorry if I use that word, it could be offensive, it could be very powerful, but a lot of people died and lost their homes because they lived on very dangerous conditions, and
right,
we were not prepared. We don't know when the next hurricane is going to strike.
Yeah,
they just were a surprise that nobody wanted.
They're living day to day and just managing to get by with what they have.
Exactly.
And one little storm like that can wipe out everything that they have and gives them even less to work with.
Exactly. La Lima, houses were just one floor, flooded completely. Yeah. People's houses were lost, electrodomestics lost, beds, furniture lost, and people's lives also lost.
So even like putting sandbags around wouldn't do any good because they're on the ground floor.
Yeah. We have to prepare better. We have to teach people how to survive this. I think the education that should be made should be giving a lot of people the opportunity to know, to be prepared, because this stormy season will be the first one after the hurricane. So I'm pretty sure people are going to be scared because, hey, what if it could happen again? And if it happens again, we should be ready to know what we should do. Evacuation, safety, where should we go? Mm. Where are the safe places? Where are the high ground?
Right. Interesting. Okay, so, well, let's take a little break and we'll be right back for some final thoughts.
Che Relief has been established by the Center for Health Empowerment to support the people of Honduras in the aftermath of hurricanes. We are currently taking material donations at our clinics and monetary donations through our GoFundMe. To learn more and support Che Relief's efforts in Honduras, visit us on Instagram, where our handle is at Che Clinic, our website, cherelief.org, or give us a call. Our Austin phone number is 512-840-1273, and our Dallas phone number is 972-432-7783. Again, we are taking both monetary and material donations. Thank you.
And we're back. So real quick, we're back for some final thoughts. We'll start with me, I guess, and then we'll let Tap wrap it up at the end. Final thoughts. Hey, Marco, it was good to have you on the show. Very informative about learning about what's going on with Honduras and, you know, getting some thought out there in advance about what you might do out there, listening audience, to maybe help to donate early before the storms hits, you know, so that they can kind of have a plan beforehand. Happy Pride Week to all out there. Thank you, TapperCon, for that information. I always learn something new talking to you, and the more I can be informed about these things, I think the better person I become. And those are my quick final thoughts. What do you have there, Marco?
I believe that Stonewall, which was a big topic in the beginning, it's something very important. It's a moment of realization that people who are queer can fight for their rights. And I invite that call also to the people of Honduras who are right now fighting. There is a lot of activism moving on forward in universities. There is a lot of movements that can be sparked from this. And my country, that is very filled with corruption, can learn a thing or two of the people who fought for their rights, from the queer liberation to the black liberation. People can fight for their rights and they can learn from history. Like right now, I learned a lot of things from Stonewall. And I'm going to take that knowledge to my home, share it with a lot of friends, share it with activists, because I know a couple of them in my home country.
Yes.
If I, one of them, I'm going to give him a shout out. Hey, Emilia, I'm going to send this to her. I'm going to tell him, hey, girl, check this out. This is an awesome podcast. But yeah, activism is for everyone. Fight for what you believe for. And also, happy Pride to everyone.
Tapka.
Yeah, happy Pride Month. Yeah, you know, I think it's really important to learn. Knowledge is power. But, you know, at the same time, we're fighting for what we need to. You know, activists are out there fighting the good fight. And it is also important to take some time like this month to just stop and celebrate how far we've come. Because you're going to burn yourself out if you don't. So it's important to learn, you know, where you came from, what allowed you to have the rights that you have now, and what more work there is that you need to do, and still acknowledge that we came a long way, and that's good. Still more to go.
Thank you all out there for listening, and to everyone out there in radio and podcast land, wherever you are, be safe, have fun, and enjoy the apocalypse. Talk to y'all later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. Please like and share. Be safe, have fun, and stay informed.